Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
I thank my pastor's wife, and the leadership for the opportunity to speak. I thank my wife for being beautiful and everything else. She's not here. She's actually with the kids. She's serving over at the Holiday Inn right now. They have a full-on service over there. So whilst we're here and we're having our service, our teenagers are over there. They're getting saved. They're getting filled with the Spirit of God. And she's over there serving right now. But I'm just going to read a portion of Scripture, and then we're going to get into it today. I'll say thank you, worship team. So while you're still standing, if you got your Bibles with you, please turn to 3 John 1, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 4. And it says, "The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Let's just bow our heads one moment. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your wonderful word. Father, we invite your presence to just remain strong in this service, Lord. Father, I pray that there is transformation of minds, Lord, just as we continue in this transformation service, Lord. And we pray that you have your intended end here today in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You could be seated, church. We just want to welcome everybody, anyone who's just tuning online. We want to welcome you to Victory Outreach Manchester. We are continuing the series that we're doing on transformation, and you're welcome here today. So, in this scripture here, John is obviously writing a letter, and he is at a place of maturity, John. So, the stuff that he's saying in this letter, it's really meaty, and it holds a lot of weight. And John's one of them people who, you know, he picks his words carefully. And he picked his words carefully in this portion of scripture. And there's just something that's being suggested that I feel will be a real blessing for us to really grab a hold of here today. So the title of the message is The Process of Transformation. And if you want to do a little subheading, then the subheading is mindset. Someone say mindsets. Someone say mindsets. Mindsets. So the interesting thing about this scripture is it talks about prosperity, but it says that he wants that people above all things. That's a deep statement. Above all things, he says, all things, that you would prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So what we see is there's an indication of a possible reality that you could be experiencing. You could be experiencing the prosperity in all things, including your health. But then he goes on to say, even as your soul prospers. And I just want to make a statement this morning, which is your outer world is the outcome of your inner world. Your outer world is the outcome of your inner world. And at first you might think to yourself, what on earth is he talking about? But don't worry about it. As we go on the journey this morning, well, this afternoon, it's going to make more sense. You see, he was talking about the fact that as your soul prospers, then that has an effect on your social experience, and it has an effect on your body, your health. So the question is, how does your soul prosper? And when we're talking about the soul, we're talking about your mind and your emotions. That is the most simplest way to break down what the soul is. Some people like to compile the spirit and the soul together, when actual fact, it's not true. Sometimes they're spoke of interchangeably because they are very closely related. But the soul is different to the spirit. The soul is the mind and the emotions. You see, in Genesis, we recognize that God made man in his image. He made man in his image. So when man was created as a spirit being. I know some of you may know this, but some people don't. And I think it's key that you grasp this before we go where we're going. So he made man as a spirit. So if you're not aware, then you are a spirit being living inside of a body, and you have a soul, you have a mind, and you have emotions, but you are a spirit being. And when that day comes, when we take that little trip to see Jesus Christ a little bit more personal, up close, then what happens is your spirit leaves your body, and your body is just doing its thing, but your spirit is you, and your spirit is alive and kicking. Can somebody say amen? So we was made in the image of God. Our spirit was made in the image of God. Our natural inclination was just like God himself. We weren't God, but we was like him. So that means if God was to speak to us and tell us some things when we was in that natural state, the original state, then the things that God would have said to us would have not been over our heads. Does anybody can witness with me that says sometimes I read some things in the word, sometimes someone might say something, like Mr. Preacher Man might say something over the mic, and I'm like, what is he talking about? Is anybody who can say amen to that? But you see, originally, when man was made, we wouldn't have had that problem because we was in his image. So when we heard the voice of God, we would have known what he was saying. And when he showed us things, we understood it. Now, has anybody had the experience where God shows you something in the spirit? We're about to get deep for a moment. So God might show you something. It's not something that's earthly. It's something that it's not even here yet. You just kind of know it. He's shown you something. And within you, you know that it's true. Is there anybody who can give me a, can I see some hands up? See, hands popping up everywhere. If you've not experienced it, then praise God, it's coming soon. So what that is called the eyes of the spirit. The eyes of the spirit. Now the second thing I just want to check, because I want to check it's just not me, is there anybody who says, you know what, I've had that experience where there's an impression that's been laid on the inside of me so soundly that it's almost like it's audible. Any hands with that one? Okay, so we got some hands popping up with that one. So that's your spiritual ears. Spiritual ears. I just want to establish, first of all, that there's a difference between your natural ears and your spiritual ears. And there's a difference between your natural eyes and your spiritual eyes. Okay? So first of all, we've got to establish that. There is a difference. Now, what we have to come to understand is when man was first created, he was walking by his spiritual ears and his spiritual eyes. He wasn't walking by his natural eyes. But the Bible talks about there came a point when it says that his eyes were opened. This is what I had first recognized then. I was like, God, well, his eyes were open. Well, what was his eyes doing before? You never ask questions like that. Why is his eyes opening now? Like, it's a bit late to open his eyes. Gave him the eyes, wouldn't they open? God was like, come on, son, you got a lot to learn, man. I'll work with you. So his natural eyes were opened up, you see? Now, what it was is, originally, the human being was not being led by his natural eyes. Until he came to that place where he had sinned, then he was starting to get influenced by what he saw physically. And he started to get influenced by what he heard physically. So now, the thing that was leading his life was no longer the eyes of the spirit, no longer the ears of the spirit, but he was now led by the things that were going on around him. That was not the intention of God. But because he had made that mistake, and because he had disobeyed, he was now finding himself in a state where it just wasn't the ideal. And we come to recognize that when Jesus, when the Lord entered into the garden, and when he was speaking, we see that Adam responded in Genesis 3 verse 10. It says, and he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. This was a messed up situation. The creation of God was now afraid when hearing his voice. The creation of God was now afraid when hearing the voice of his creator. And the reason being is because now the law of sin and death has moved in, and he was operating under a spirit of fear. It wasn't the spirit of God, it was the spirit of fear. So I want to start off by telling you straight away that if there's anybody in this place that's been operating under the spirit of fear, that's going to get broken today. Because the spirit of fear is not of God. See, mankind found himself in that situation, but how many people know that God had a plan? God's always got a plan. You can't outsmart God. God had already seen the whole of time before he even decided to create it. So you ain't fast enough, you're not quick enough, you're not tall enough, you're not broad enough, you're not anything enough to be too much of enough for God. That makes sense. Made sense to me. Praise the Lord. You see, there was a prophecy in Matthew 13, verse 14 to 15 that says this. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of his people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with the eyes and hear with the ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. You see, unless you understand that there's a difference between spiritual ears and eyes and physical ears and eyes, scriptures like this just won't necessarily make sense. So I hope we're all on the same page here, that there's a difference between the spiritual and the physical. And when God sent his son Jesus Christ, the Lord, the King, to the cross, died on the cross, paid the price for our sins, sent his spirit into us, he wanted to reestablish this relationship. He wanted to reestablish it. He wanted us to once again start to hear his voice and start to see the things that he sees. That's why there was a prophecy that there will be prophecies. Prophecy, the ability to see the mind of God and say it and speak it. The ability to hear his heart and speak it out. See, when you don't have the Spirit of God, when you're void of the Spirit of God, you're not able to tap into the mind of God, because that was the thing that was lost in the Garden of Eden. So now mankind was trapped in a situation where all the stuff that was on the outside was dictating their reality. You see, everybody's mind is sculpted by three things. Your mind, the way you see things, the things you believe for, are sculpted by, number one, the things that you have heard whilst growing up. Number two, the things that you have seen whilst growing up. And number three, the things that you have experienced whilst growing up. These things have now formed the way you view the world, and has built your ideologies of how you accept the realities. And it has created for you what you see as your possibilities and what you see as your limitations. You see, but the problem is if your understanding has been grounded by what you experienced growing up and what you was told and what you saw whilst you growing up, that means that you was void of the truth, which is the word of God. And in his scripture, what John is saying is, he's saying, look, I want to see that things go well for you, but it's only going to go well for you as far as your soul is in line with the truth of God. He starts to talk about the truth. When he's talking about the truth, we know what the truth is. The truth is the word. And I know where our church is at this current time. is we are experiencing the no eye is seen, the no ear is heard. But the challenge is that whilst we're stepping into new places, whilst we're stepping into the things that God has spoken about, we start to experience challenges from the outside. Come on now. See people like, yeah, brother, I know what you're talking about. Problems. Challenges from the outside. You know, the interesting thing about in the garden was the fact that when man sinned, his eyes were opened. But later on, when he was saved and received the Spirit of God, his eyes were still open. So that means as you're hearing God's voice and seeing what it is that he's showing you, you now have the challenge of your natural eyes still trying to depict your future. Your natural eyes are trying to give you a limitation. You see, God is in the business of taking people from one place and transporting them to a whole new place. A place that you have never seen before. A place that is greater than where you grew up. I know in my household, for example, I'm like the second male in the whole of my family to ever get married. Ever. I'm the first male to ever graduate university. This is because the Lord was able to take me from what the world was saying was going to be my reality. My surroundings and my settings were saying, no, this guy is never going to get married. He's going to be a player for the rest of his life. My surrounding was saying, this guy is never, ever going to graduate university. He's just not going to be in that type of setting. He's not even going to be in that scenario. But that's not what the Word of God said. The Word of God told me that I'm more than a conqueror. The Word of God told me that I should be courageous. That God gave me a spirit of boldness. Gave me a spirit, gave me a sound mind. Not one of timidity. That's what the Word of God told me. God opened up them doors and I strolled in there like a boss. Got my degree like, that's right. You know what I'm saying? Put on my wedding ring like, come on now. Boss time. But it wasn't without its challenges. It's funny when we hear testimonies because we could just talk about the good parts. And it was great, I graduated, yay! Not talking about the times when I was on my knees praying like, Lord, I need to find a way through this. I'm struggling with this essay. Come on now. I need some supernatural wisdom. Download it, Lord. Give me the grace. But God came through. So we're spiritual beings having a physical reality. Matthew 14, verse 27 to 33, we start to see this playing out. This is a scripture that you're probably quite familiar with. Jesus returns to the disciples and things are getting a little bit shaky on the boat. The storm is starting to move. There's a bit of waves taking place. They see Jesus walking on the water and Peter, being the live wire that he is like, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. First of all, you gotta love Peter. Because Peter says the craziest of things. Sometimes you read the scripture and it's like, you just run through it. I read it and I stopped like, I'm seeing Jesus walking on the water. I don't know if I'm gonna be like, bid me come. I might just be like, I'm cool chilling though. This is okay to watch. Our Lord is good, you know what I mean? God, Jesus, go for it. You're killing it. We like it in the boat. But you have to really look at what it was that Peter clocked onto and what Peter said. Peter said to him, if it's you, command me to come. And then Jesus said, come. What it was Peter had clocked a certain pattern with Jesus. Peter had recognized that every time when Jesus commands something, it's a sure win. Peter had noticed that, wait a minute, I've been hanging around with this Jesus guy. He's got to be the Messiah. Got to be it. And every single time when he commands something, that thing happens. I don't really know how he does it. I can't fully explain it. But you know what? I've got that crazy faith right now. Anybody who got that crazy faith in that place? I see a few crazy faithers in here today. He said, I got that crazy faith. What I'm going to do is, if you command me to come out on this water, I'm going to step up out of the boat. And Jesus said, come. And then Peter stepped up out of the boat. You see me? That's why I love people with courageous faith. Courageous faith, because when people have courageous faith, it builds my faith tank. Start to get around people who have that faith. I don't like getting around people with that small faith. Every time you tell them about big things, they're like, well, you know, what about it? They like the waves. Come on now. Start feeling the waves creeping in the boat. Like, yo, you're walking on the water. Now you're looking at the water. Like before, you was walking on it like a boss. Now you're looking down at the water and your feet are wet and you're like, I don't know about this. Before you know it, you're sinking. Lord Jesus, that's how it happens. Peter looked around, he looked at the situation, he said, this isn't a possible situation, this isn't normal. I know that I said, call me out, but I'm out the boat. And then he was like, but I'm Peter, the guy who just says stuff and does stuff. Because Peter was like that. He just did things, you know, when they came for Jesus, pulled the sword out, chopped off the ear, no questions asked. He was just alive while he's like, Jesus, are you coming for the Lord Jesus? I got my sword, let's do this. That's how he was. Now Jesus on the water, bid me come, I'm out the boat. Yo, he's a deep guy. He's on the water. But then he's like, listen, I haven't thought this thing through. Anyone been in that situation where you step out on faith and then it's like, I don't know if I have thought this through. I don't know anymore. Jesus, was this you? Or was this me? Like, are we together in this? Because it's wet. And that was the situation that he found himself in. He was out there, it was getting wet, it was getting serious, and then he started to sink, and then he cried out, and then Jesus was right there. And Jesus mentioned that, you know, what is it with this unbelief thing? What is that all about? You see, the reason being is because our eyes are still open. So every single thing that we believe, it's sculpted by what we've seen before, heard before, and experienced before. And 9 times out of 10 growing up, you did not see regular miracles. You might have seen some regular lack up in this. Peter had probably seen a few people sink. And he looked at the situation and said, you know what? It's about that sink time right about now. It's feeling a little sinkish. And the faith just went, where is it? It's gone. You see, but the thing is, I know that God is speaking to some people in here. I know that God has given you some dreams. Where we are right now as a church is God is really giving people dreams. Big dreams. People are getting transitioned from one place to another. Different places in education, in politics, in business, in just general lifestyle. People are going from one place to another. One person was a drug addict, now he's free, he's set free, he's got a new opportunity, she's got a new opportunity. The other person stepping into a place of education and never been there before. Different opportunities, people stepping out of the boat. But the enemy is very, very crafty. He knows how to cause turbulence. He knows how to do that. But I let you into a big secret is the fact that sometimes it's not even Satan. Sometimes everyone just hypes it up, warfare. No, that weren't warfare. They was just out there on a rainy day. It was stormy out there. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes we have that in our lives. We're just in a situation where things just are not happening. That's just the way it is at that current time. It's not always turbulence from the enemy. Sometimes it is, but it's not always. And in those situations, what you're going to do is you're going to have the tendency to look at yourself and say, do I have the ability to get through this? Do I have the ability to get to this next level? But the answer is no, you don't.
not in and of yourself, but the one that lives in you is greater. The one that lives in you is mightier. Listen, if he's given you the vision, then he's given you the provision. He isn't going to give you the vision unless he gives you the provision. Because you got to think about it. If you was able to do it and you was able to get to the next level yourself, you would be on the next level. You're not on that level because you're not on that level. But the one who is in you is on that level and beyond. And what he wants to do is he just wants to grow you up and take you to the next place. But the mind is one of those things that doesn't like to let go of what it's comfortable with. You know, sitting inside that boat would have been a comfortable feeling. I know that as Peter was walking out on that boat, when he was on the water, he must have looked back like, yo, that boat was all right, you know. You know, like, why did I take these steps when the boat was very cozy? Because everyone must have been kicked back on the boat, just chilling like, Peter, hope this works out, brother. You know, like, when we're praying for you, bro, we're praying. Text message with the hands. Praying. We're praying, bro. Praying. Pray for him. And he's out there and he's looking back and it's comfortable. And that's what it's like when you're stepping out on something, is you feel alone. You're like, is anybody else stepping out at this level? Because everybody else, their waves look like they're calm. My waves are serious out here. I don't know if I missed something. And it's like that. You're looking at your ability. Can I do this in my natural self? You see, the thing is you need to transform your thinking. This is a very simple message. You have to transform your thinking. You know, the sanctification process is it's instant, but it's also progressive. You might have heard the word sanctification. It's instant and progressive. When you look in the word, you'll see instances when it's an instant thing, and you'll see instances when it's a progressive thing. Because a human being comprises of three parts: the spirit, the soul, and the body. The spirit is you. That's the person. That's the person who gets saved. That's the one who Jesus moves in and renews you. Boom, you're brand new. When you get saved, you are brand new, like straight out the box in the bubble wrap. Just like that. Brand new. Bubble wrap, fresh. But the soul, on the other hand, is not caught up yet. The spirit man is saved. And sometimes you have them people in that battle, you know, like, I've been thinking these thoughts and, you know, I'm tempted to do this and am I even saved? I don't even know if Jesus loves me. Do you know why you're asking that question? Because you don't know what your Bible says. That's why you're asking that question. You do not know what your word says. It says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. In Romans 7, Paul even breaks down that battle that you're going through. He breaks it down. He says that, you know, there's something that he wants to do, which is the will of God. But at the same time, he wants to do it, but there's a part of him that doesn't want to do it. The part of him that wants to rebel and do something else. And he's like, but the thing that he wants to do, which is something else, he knows it's wrong. So if he knows it's wrong, so therefore there's got to be a part of him that wants to do right. Bit of a head twist. But you get the gist. The sanctification process is all about taking your thinking that doesn't line up with the truth of God and making an adjustment. You see, the problem is there's too many people that are settled with being okay with the wrong thinking. And I'm not just talking about, like, direct sin. Do you know what I mean? Like, direct sin, a lot of people know what direct sin is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even need to name them all. But when you're sinning, you know that you're sinning. I'm not talking about that necessarily. I'm talking about, what about those breakthroughs that God wants to give you, but you are telling yourself that you're not that person? Where the enemy is giving you low confidence. Low confidence because of the experiences you had in the past. Low confidence because of words that people spoke over you in the past. You don't think to yourself that you're going to make it through. You don't think to yourself that you're going to get there. You don't think to yourself that a door's going to open. That's the other one. Because that's just as bad as the sin. It's wicked unbelief. That's what Jesus talked about, wicked unbelief. Why? Because it doesn't line up with truth. It doesn't line up with what he said. And I want to tell you today that, listen, I believe that if you're a person in this place that has been looking at areas of your life and saying, this just don't measure up with the word of the Lord, and for some reason I'm just struggling to believe it, I believe that you're going to get your breakthrough. I believe that you're going to get your breakthrough. But the joke of it is it's going to be a very practical thing. A very practical thing. The spirit man gets saved. Now that you've got the spirit man living inside you, now that you have the spirit of God, you can now understand God's thoughts. When you read his word, the revelation starts to come to you, start to get it. When the preacher's preaching, you now start to get understanding. There's things that are being said that now you couldn't have understood it before, but now you get it. And what you've got to say to yourself is you've got to say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this truth and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write a little list. I'm going to write a little list of all the points in my life that do not add up with the word of God. I'm going to put a line down the middle of the paper. I'm going to write all the stuff on the left, or the right, your choice, on the left that is opposite to what God's saying. And then on the right-hand side, or the left, your choice, I'm going to write down all the stuff that God says concerning that matter. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to believe, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to wait until I get a breakthrough. Come on, you can make more noise than that, because I know that was a very practical thing, but that was a so necessary thing. So necessary. The Bible says that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. See, the enemy works in areas of deception. He works in areas of your life that you lack understanding. And God wants to give you your breakthrough. There's areas in your life when you're experiencing them waves, but God is saying, look, listen, I'm ready to turn that around. But what I need you to do is I need you to take the word of God. I need you to apply it. I need you to meditate on it. I need you to keep going over it until you believe it, until it's on the inside. And when it's on the inside, you'll start to see it on the outside. Because the reason why you're not seeing it on the outside is because you don't have it on the inside. You can't live your life based on somebody else's testimony. It doesn't work like that. You need to know it for yourself. When you need to get a breakthrough in a certain area, you can't just look at someone who got the breakthrough and said, they got the breakthrough, I'll get the breakthrough. No. They got the breakthrough is a testimony that the breakthrough is possible. But now you need to get that word and let that word become truth to you so that you can stand on it and that you can get that breakthrough too. The second thing is you need to disassociate yourself with the lies. Start a lifestyle of where whenever something crops up that's opposite to what God's saying, take the time to look at it and start to speak to that situation and say, this is a lie. Don't just roll with it like be in that default mode, just living it fast, busy. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to be cutting it. Not if you seriously want your breakthrough. How much do you want your breakthrough? That's the question. You got to look at that situation and say, you know what? This idea that I have concerning this matter, this is not of God. Therefore, it's not of me. This is the flesh. I don't need that. But this is the word of God, and this is what he says, and this is what I choose to believe. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and speak to yourself. Sometimes you got to speak to the flesh and tell it where to go. You got to put it in place. You see, I'm one of them early bird people. I'm one of them people who like to rise up real early. And in the night, when I'm going to bed, I'm like, I love you. I'm running to the bed like, yes. But in the morning time, I see the bed like my enemy. I know some of you keeping your enemies close, isn't it? But I know that the bed's trying to rob me of some things. So when I get up in the morning, I speak to myself. I'm like, look, man, you want to make sure I don't progress. I'm out of you right now. Gone. Speak to yourself. Don't know if it's quite scriptural, but I know it holds water. But those situations that are in your life that don't add up with the truth of God, we can stand this afternoon. The Bible talks about renewing your mind. Ephesians 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, be renewed in the place of where you get your thoughts from. Where is it that you get your thoughts from? Your ideas. You have different ideas of where it is that you can progress to. You have different ideas of yourself, what you're able to achieve. If there's anybody in this room who has any ounce of low self-esteem, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Low self-esteem is not of God. Because how can you have a low self? How can you esteem the image of God lowly? It doesn't even make sense. That's a lie of the enemy. Because the enemy doesn't want you to step into that place. But I'm telling you today that you can step into that place. God wants you to prosper. But the truth of the matter is you're only going to prosper as far as your soul prospers. That's the truth. Oh, you'll be saved because your spirit man is saved. The spirit is prosperous, trust me, 100% rich. Spirit of God living on the inside. But the soul now, the soul has to be worked out daily. It's all about what you put into it. That's why you have to be really conscious of your eye gate and your ear gate. What are you watching? What are you listening to? Flicking Facebook every 5 minutes, listening to any old jargon. Be careful. Because if you know it, you got an understanding of something. That's what? Following people who are in the world, letting their reality become your reality. Well, you just have a very carnal reality. Don't know about you. I'm watching people who are experiencing miracle signs and walking on water. Come on now. That's my reality. People who are saying, you know what? I'm stepping into a level that is greater than where I am. That's what I'm experiencing because that's what I'm watching and that's what I'm believing and that's what I'm seeing in the Word of God. So we're going to do an altar call for people in two places today. The first one is for people who say, you know what? I know God has spoke to me concerning a place where he wants to take me. But for some reason, my belief in going there has been highly challenged. And because of that, I've not stepped out of the boat. I'm still in the boat and contemplating getting out of the boat, but I've not yet done it. That person, I want you to come to the front. I want you to get with God this afternoon. And the second one is for the person who says, you know what? I've been experiencing just challenges from the outside, and I've come to a place where I've even doubted whether I'm actually going to get out of this. Like, the waves are so high that it's just brought me to a place of fear, and I felt quite paralyzed. If that's you, I want you to come to the front. Just as the worship team start to worship, I want you to come to the front, find a place with God today. And I want you to make it your personal decision to say, I am not going to believe anything other than what the Word actually says concerning this matter.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.